Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another Wandering One podcast brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. And congratulations, you made it to episode 100. We did it. Made it to episode 100. We are now just 2 weeks away from the two-year anniversary of the Wandering One podcast. And I just want to say it's been a blast. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you like the podcast, please share it with somebody. Tell a friend. Look it up. Rate it. Rate it, subscribe, send me a comment or question or whatever you got for me on Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. It's free to follow and it's only $3 a month to join. I've been kind of like going through it this year, so I've been dragging ass a little bit, but I do intend on creating some more content this week. Just been a lot of stuff going on and we're going to talk about it here in just a minute. I mean, you guys know some of the stuff, but then there's some new stuff that's already like that has been on the horizon and I didn't know. And then as soon as I hit the horizon, it was like, surprise! And it was like, ah, shit, they got me. So, so a couple things kind of caught me off guard. A couple things I anticipated but didn't really fully take into account. And we're going to work our way through it, as we always do. I just wanted to say I appreciate each and every one of you for your time, your patience, your support, however you choose to provide it. And I can't wait to see what happens in the next year of the Wandering One podcast. And also, I am streaming. I'm back to streaming again on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. So please feel free to stop on over there. This afternoon, normally I've been trying to, well, not normally. I've been trying to do this thing where I've experimented with starting my stream during the weekdays at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I know it's a little early for most people who are used to watching my streams later in the day, but it also gives me a little bit of time in the evenings to hang out with the family, hang out with the wife, hang out with friends during the week. And also kind of keeps me accountable during the week to make sure I run errands or X, Y, or Z kind of things during the day before I stream. So I kind of have like a little bit of purpose driving the day forward before I do like game stuff and streaming stuff. Because like I've said before, just trying to play games for fun almost feels... It almost feels wrong sometimes. Like, I know I'm supposed to be able to enjoy some of my free time, but I just, there's something about it that, like, just because it's gaming and because of, maybe it's just built-in stigma from years and years of hearing, you know, how terrible video gaming is for you and how video gamers are losers and this, that, and the other. Maybe it's kind of, like, slightly ingrained in me where I just kind of go, like, well, you know, if I haven't done something, I don't deserve to play, right? So I've been trying to, like, almost gamify my game time. So, like, yeah, I've earned it today because, you know, I did this and I did that and I did this. And now I have time and I can do this without feeling any guilt about it. So we just delved into my psychology a little bit. But yeah, please come and join me over at twitch.tv/linkib. Currently playing through some Borderlands 4. Popped in with some Hollow Knight, Void Heart Edition. That's the older game in that franchise, not the currently out Silksong, which I'm very intrigued by. And I put on my wish list so I can hopefully purchase that one soon. Yes, I do have a wish list. It's available on twitch.tv/linkib. I haven't bombarded people with it here, mainly because it is for gaming for my Xbox and my Switch. And mostly I kind of focus on my Xbox because my Switch stuff, I'd rather buy the physical stuff. We've talked about this before. Not owning your gaming media really irritates me. So I try to buy games that I want. On physical, like the upcoming, well, the out now, Triangle Strategy from Square Enix. I've already planned to buy that at some point in the next 2 months for my Nintendo Switch, since I'm still on the OG Switch, and I'm hoping it'll meet expectations. I played a little bit of the demo, so I'm really excited about that. We're going to talk about gaming stuff in a minute. Anyway, moving right along. This week I'm going to be working on some commissioned artwork that I got from a friend. Like, they were like good enough to send me a request for a commission, and I will be pushing up some other artwork and stuff like that. I think as things start to simmer down, it's been bananas, man. Like, there's been a lot of shit going on, but I just want you to know I haven't forgotten you guys. I haven't given up. I haven't given up on the bonus content. There is some stuff I want to put together. But it's just a one-man show around here. You know what I mean? I don't have a staff. I don't have an editor. I don't have an assistant. I don't have a co-host to do any of this stuff. it's all just me. So I appreciate your patience while I'm trying to put this together and realizing that on top of all that, there's still like life shit that I have to take care of too. So thank you for your patience. Let's talk about some of that life shit. Some of you may remember that a little over a week ago, the vehicle kicked the bucket when I was going to go run some errands. Just died. I was starting it up in the garage and it just said, and then was no mas. So then we ended up trying to get a hold of, we got roadside assistance, so they should be able to come out and, jump it or whatever, or tow it. And they were like, well, first you got to back it out of the driveway, out of the garage, and then you got to lunch it up, and the guy was really cool about it, he wasn't bad. But he was like, yeah, he's like, we can get it jumped and you can get it to a place where they can get the battery tested. He's like, sounds like it's most likely the battery. Pray to God it's not an electrical problem. But if we can get the battery tested, then that'll be a good thing. If we can get it jumped and tested, that'd be great. Well, here's the funky thing about these newfangled cars where everything's regulated by a freaking computer. Once the computer starts to get some juice, it tries to turn on everything all at once. Instead of doing the smart thing, which would be, oh, you know what we should do? Turn on the engine and let the engine start to generate power through the rest of the vehicle and charge the battery while the engine's running. Because that's what the alternator does. It kind of, juices the battery up and keeps it cranked up and winding and going. But this thing starts drawing power as soon as you turn it off. As soon as you turn the car off, it's still sucking power down from somewhere. It's almost like you have to pull the battery cables off it every time you stop it so it doesn't drain the battery. It's a ridiculous system, by the way. And I know that all batteries drain slowly when they're connected, but it seems like anything that's running with the computer or, it's got Bluetooth and all this other shit in it, a satellite radio, every one of those things has to take priority over start the fucking car. So when the gentleman put the charging pack on there to try to jumpstart the thing, it ate the charger because it was just constantly trying to pull enough power to turn the computer on. And never actually try to bother turning over the engine, really. So I'm like, okay, this is stupid. Ended up getting it towed down the street where they charged way more than they should have for a battery that we probably could have gotten for way less if we had just been able to get it to a regular auto parts store. If we had a second vehicle, I could have just gone and picked up the battery and swapped it out my damn self. Somebody's like, yeah, they probably got special screws and shit in there. I'm like, no, they don't. No, no, no. Because as quickly as you have to be able to take a battery out and put it back in, I guarantee you it's easy. And I looked in there, I'm like, yeah, I could have done this shit with my own tools and for like half the price if I had just another way to get to a battery. But that's neither here nor there. We're already out the money. Its car is running and it's supposed to be fine. But then this last week, I've been like, what is going on? I'm starting to feel it kind of chug and shudder when I start it up. And, I was taking somebody's advice, just because I had done this for a while, but then sometimes I'm like, I don't really think about it very often. Just start the car and let it run for like a minute before just driving off. Just start it, let it run for a minute, heats up the oil, lets it run through and start to lubricate all the parts so you have less engine wear and tear. But I also usually keep up pretty well with obviously filling it up, getting it clean, getting it washed. Sometimes I get it detailed or I do the detailing myself and then getting the oil changed. And I was thinking about, when was the last time I did? Oh, shit. I looked up at the sticker, and it was due on the 20th. And today being Wednesday, September 24th, I'm like, fuck. I usually like to get it scheduled like a week or two before the actual due date. In reality, I actually was listening to somebody recently tell a story about an elderly lady who had a kind of like a cherry, 60-something, I forget, like a 60-something Chevy or something like that. But the thing was basically mint. She took excellent care of it, as far as taking care of the leather and the interior, the carpeting, the paint was always in nice condition, the tires were great, the shocks were maintained and the engine was running perfectly. And they're like, well, what's your secret? She goes, they tell you to change the oil every 5,000 miles. That's because they want you to have to buy a new car. Change the oil every 2,000 miles to every 2,000 to 2,500 miles. And more frequently if you can afford to do it. She's like, it will keep the engine running longer, it'll run cleaner, and it will last, as far as the parts, everything like that, will be more resilient. And it doesn't drain any other systems on the in the vehicle as much, Because when the engine's running, you know, really well, then the other systems don't have to, you know, compensate in any regard. And yeah, she was right. She's like, this thing has been running perfectly for me for over 40 something years. It's the only car she ever had. I'm like, that sounds insane. But then I started looking at more other stories like that. And people are like, yeah, like if I change my oil every 2,000 miles, it might cost me a little bit more in oil, but it costs me so much less in overall maintenance just down the line. And I'm like, you know, that's a common sense thing that most people will completely ignore. Or they'll be like, you don't need to do it that often. I'm like, you just want me to have to come here and buy another car and drop another $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on a vehicle. You know what I mean? So you can, you know, I'm not, who's doing that in one shot, right? You want me to drop like $5,000-$6,000 on a vehicle and then jack up the payments and collect insurance, interest on the payments and whatnot. Oh, please finance it. Yeah, no. So I'm like, yeah, we're going to go get the oil change this week. I've got to call somebody in a little bit and be like, hey, we need to get this thing in there today. As I slowly sip my tea because I haven't done any of the Mudwater stuff that I wanted to get. And I'm also looking to see if Mudwater will be a sponsor. That'd be awesome. Remember when I was drinking Rise coffee for like the longest? And it was working. I was getting like that nice clean energy. I was getting like a boost of interior health, you know, and gastrointestinal health. But then they started fucking with the money. And they had that really funky, like, trick you into getting a monthly recurring subscription thing. Yeah. I'm going to see if Mudwater is like that. If they're not, maybe they'll give them a shot and see how it goes. But yeah, that was some of the little stuff that's been going on this week. Got to hang out with my buddy, Big Dave. Got to hang out with him yesterday. That was really cool. Stopped to get lunch at this place called Hop Daddy, not Hop Daddy. Hop Daddy. And fantastic food, actually. I'd heard of the place, but I always thought it was called something else. And I would either think they were saying like Hip Daddy, but they were saying it wrong. Or they thinking of this other place called Hop Tinger. And I would get them confused. So then I finally saw the place. I'm like, oh, that's what this is. We stopped in, got this awesome. I had a bison burger there, but it was like a double stacked bison burger patty, with bacon, you know, garlic pickle chips. And they had like, I think it was like not even coleslaw, but it was like a cabbage medley or something that went on this thing. I'm not sure exactly. I have to go look at it again. But I had to make a couple modifications because obviously, you know, gluten-free. Yeah, I can't have just like regular Kraft singles on my burger. Of course, my stomach's got to be bougie. So if I'm going to have something, it's got to be like, I need a Tillamook aged cheddar, please. Aged 2 years for the lower lactose content, but also like an extra $1.50 a fucking slice. But I'm telling you, totally worth it. The burgers were fantastic. They had a garlic parmesan shared fries, whatever. It's like a shareable fry bowl. And those were fantastic. And the chipotle ketchup, that was really amazing. So shout outs to Hop Dotties out there at the St. John's Town Center. Great food. And actually pretty reasonable price considering, you know, it's kind of more artisanal burgers, kind of some artisanal kind of foods. But it was a blast. I got to have a good time chatting with my homie. Talking about comics, work, life, family, all that jazz, and setting up some time to hang out hopefully this weekend. Maybe watch some football, maybe watch some wrestling. We'll see what we'll see. But yeah, that was said mostly to let you know a little bit of what happened this weekend, along with the fact that when I was there, I had the very good fortune to be like, hey, he's like, we'll meet at the town center maybe? And I'm like, yes! Because I needed to go to the town center. Some of you might have remembered that my Razer Kraken headset that I've had for years finally gave up the ghost and had to throw it away, which was very sad. And Razer doesn't make the Kraken anymore in the form that I would recognize. So I've been trying to find one on eBay for later so I can purchase one and have it in the background just in case. Because I really do miss it, and I miss the solid construction that it used to have. But now all the Razer headsets are just garbage. They're really cheap plastic. The metal components seem to be solid, but because they're being housed by cheap plastic, they crack and break. and then they're not really useful anymore. Or the metal components are very chintzy. Like I said, the Razor Black Shark that I had, well, the ear cups were held on with hanger wire. And the very cheap look and feel, especially with the very cheap and hollow feeling plastic cups that they give you for the ear muffs, left way too much to be desired. And I was like, I can't justify spending almost $100 anywhere from like $60 to $100 on a headset that feels like it's going to fall apart if I fart on it. So I couldn't in good conscience go back to the Razer, no matter what version I looked at. They all seemed terrible. And also, what the fuck is wrong with the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack? Like, it's on the controllers for a reason. It's on your laptops and, you know, PCs for a reason. And everybody's still using USB-A audio, like, or switching over to USB or USB-C audio. I don't really have necessarily a problem with USB-C audio, except for the fact that I have a puck that I use for my headset that lets me regulate. One, it helps me regulate the audio volume of the game versus, like, the chat volume for when people are talking to me. And that's fun. I like that because it kind of helps mitigate some of the background audio. Excuse me. Goodness. And oddly enough, when I have it attached and I, you know, use a headset with it, the audio is crisper and more bolstered than it is when I'm just plugging it directly into the headset itself, which you'd think wouldn't be the case. But as soon as I plug it into the headset, then I have to go back into the settings. I have to tune the audio settings for the controller itself. The puck kind of bypasses all of that and puts it right there on the controller itself. So I don't have to go through a bunch of menu trees. Perfect solution, right? Well, it only supports 3.5 millimeter audio. And I don't have a problem with that because that's what I prefer. I feel like the sound quality is better. And granted, it is digital audio, but it just has like a rounder kind of sound to it even with that. But yeah, nobody seems to support that anymore. They just got rid of them all. And so everybody's like, oh, we're going to go to this format. I'm like, why? Why? It just, they feel cheap. It never sounds quite as good. And it cuts down the amount of options that you have as far as like adapters. So if you do want to switch it out, or if you do want to try to use this headset with something else, it's really limited. Like this one is like the one I just picked up. The last one I picked up was the HyperX Cloud 3 wired headset, which was a decent headset. Great audio for the, well, as far as I was concerned, the audio was great. The sound quality when I was talking through the mic, people were saying sounded really clear. But the biggest problem was comfort. And the biggest issue was that the ear cups are very small. They're designed for people with tiny little baby ears, and it was pressing on my ears and causing like pain and headaches. So then I went and looked, and I saw another one from Corsair, which looked really sweet. And like I said, this is not necessarily a tech podcast. I'm just rambling on all this stuff anyway. But Corsair had this other headset that was there. It looked and felt great. It felt like there was like an aluminum construction to the thing, or maybe even solid steel. I couldn't really tell. I didn't check, but it had a good heft to it. Didn't feel like heavy, but it had like some sturdiness to it. And it felt mostly comfortable, except it had that classic problem that things with like a curved headband usually have, is that once you stretch the headband out to put it on your head, it presses down in the middle. Like it kind of flattens out the curve of the headband. So it causes it to press on the top of your head. And I was not a fan of that at all, but everything else about this thing was damn near perfect. But the only issue was with that, then it was a wireless headset. I was like, damn it, make this wired and I'd buy it. So then I finally ended up settling on, and I don't mean settling for, but I mean settling on, like my decision became the Steel Series, and it's the Arctis Nova Pro. It's a wired headset, 3.5 millimeter jack, comes with the adapter that you can use to switch it over to USB-A audio if you're so inclined. And actually has like a little, almost like a mixer in a way. It's like more like a switch to allow you to switch between different audio inputs. And I don't know really who that's for. Like, I don't know who's doing this, where you've got like, there's a little readout and whatnot. It's like a little volume knob control kind of thing, which is nice. But then it had like these different switches on it for switching between like three different systems or whatever. So you could connect your PlayStation, PC, or Switch without moving any cables. On the one hand, that's kind of cool. On the other hand, I don't know how many of you play with the Nintendo Switch, but it's not really an audio out for the Nintendo Switch. And the controller itself doesn't really have anything that lets you plug in headphones or anything like that. It's just not... it's not very well designed for that kind of capacity. And it should be. It should be better than it is. The headphones, you know, the headphone port's in a weird spot. It doesn't allow USB-C audio, which is a bold and peculiar choice. I assume that that's so that you can charge your Switch while you're playing. But then the headphone jack is on the top of the Switch, so it's weird. Like your audio cable runs up and over the back of the console. Anyway, all that to say, it has some peculiar add-ons, which are not unwelcome, just unusual. But one thing it does really nicely is it has that cool little skull hammock on it. If you're not used to these kinds of devices, what you're not getting is, if you've seen a normal set of headphones where it's got the two cans on either side, and then it's got like usually an arched, you know, like an arched headband that goes over the top of it. Like I said, a lot of the issue is with the headbands. Once you spread the headset out enough to put it on your head, the headband kind of flattens down and presses on the top. Well, these things have this funky, cool little like elastic. That's the only thing I can think of. It's like an elastic band, like a hammock that actually rests on top of your head and keeps the headband from doing that. So it keeps like a nice little springy comfort cushion between yourself and the headband, which I'm like, that's a little funky and bizarre to look at. But if it keeps me from getting this weird ass indentation on the top of my head or making me get headaches because it's pressing so hard on my skull, why not? You know, let's give them a spin. So we're going to give those a try today during today's stream. Like I haven't had a chance to use them much. I played with them for a little bit just to put them on and see what they were like. Hopefully during today's stream, we'll get a chance to really test it with not only game audio, but maybe some party chat. So while I've been playing Borderlands 4 as a solo thing and been enjoying that a lot just by myself, maybe I'll jump into some Destiny. Maybe I'll open up an Xbox party, play some casual games, you know, maybe some Balatro, which is a, you know, if you haven't seen me play Balatro, you'll know it's an experience in and of itself because I get super excited and super frustrated at the exact same time. But it is fun to chat with people while I'm playing that game because it's like playing a game of cards, except it's just me playing. I can just talk to my friends on online while I'm doing that, which is super fun, you know. And, you know, and speaking of games, I did have a couple things about gaming, so we'll keep that track moving. There's a game out now called Skate, period. It's actually called Skate, period. The word is Skate in lowercase, and then there's a period at the end of it. It's from the titular, the storied franchise Skate, which is not new by any stretch of the imagination. There were more than a handful of games that came out between Xbox and Xbox 360 up into the Xbox One era, but Skate 3 is by far considered to be one of the best games in that franchise. And I saw that it was currently out, this game Skate period was out on a game preview for Xbox. I don't generally go for game preview stuff because it's a lot of time and, you know, hard drive space to expend on something that may or may not really be worth your time. And oftentimes they tell you when you start it up, hey, this game is a work in progress. There are features in here that may be bugged. They may not work at all. There's possibility that this thing could do something funky to your console. So I generally tend to steer away from them. But I do like skateboarding games. And I was considering checking out Skate. And then I started reading some of the reviews about like how incredibly buggy it was, how bad the controls were, and just the fact that like the customer support wasn't there. A lot of the modes had been pared down. The customization was almost exclusively microtransactions, so it was just a way to like basically putting it out on game preview, hoping people will buy into the customizations, And then that would allow them to continue to fund the game, which really irritated me. And just based on the recommendations from a lot of people who were like, if you want to play something, go back and play the older Skate games. I felt kind of bummed out because some of you who've been following the stream at least might remember that recently I purchased Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 in the remastered version. And then because it was available via Game Pass, I picked up Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 so I could try it out for free as opposed to dropping money on it. And I was very disappointed with all four of those games. Now, I remember that there was a sense of speed and urgency to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater that was always a little staggering to me, but I just don't understand why you have to start speed skating as soon as you move forward. Like, there's no wind up, you know what I mean? As soon as you kick push, you're already going 30 miles an hour. And it made it really difficult to control in tighter areas of the game. Like when you're trying to work through like a park, for example, and there's a railing, there's a water fountain, there's a bench, there's stairs, there's, you know, like the sidewalk or trees or whatever. It was almost hell just to be able to go more than like 3 feet, 4 feet without slamming into something, because it kind of like over designed the park so much that you couldn't string tricks together unless you started outside the park and worked your way in. Once you got in and you fell, you're basically just slamming into shit until you lucked up on a rail or something. And I was like, you know, slowing down the sense of speed in this game would probably make this way more fun. But as it was, I was slamming into something like every 3 seconds and almost falling off the board. And like, you know what? Nah. I would rather actually learn how to skate than play this game. Which is unfortunate because, you know, it seems like when they do a remaster, they kind of forget that like, hey, the processing power on these things is going to make the graphics look really, really smooth and great and stuff like that. But that also means that you want to give people a chance to observe them and to be able to take in the experience while at the same time experience, you know, having a good time playing the game, doing the tricks and skills and whatnot that are built into it. So if you guys have any recommendations, you know, that for a skating game, that'd be cool. I'd love to hear about them. Like I said, just hit me up over on Patreon, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I'd love to hear what you got to say. Yeah, about that. And there's just been so much. I mean, obviously, we know we're going to talk about the new stuff and the weirdness and wildness that's happened there. I'm going to wrap up with some football shit. man, I tell you what. I haven't gotten a lot of emails lately. I got one this past week. We're going to read that in just a minute. But I would really love to hear more of your opinions because I know some of you have some thoughts. And if you just take, like, you know, 2 minutes out of your day to write me a little something or whatever, I'd love to read it here on the show. And again, like I said, unless you ask me to, I won't say your name out loud. But I do appreciate you for taking the time to write in. And I actually got a response to one of the comments that I made last week when we were talking about, is it crazy or messy to show up exactly on time when you're invited to a house party? And again, like I said, we're stipulating very clearly, this is not for like a special event. This is not like, you know, hey, we're having like Christmas dinner or, you know, we're not having like so-and-so's surprise party or graduation or baby shower and shit like that. It's just, hey, we're going to just hang out and bullshit, drink stuff and eat snacks and maybe watch a movie or, you know, play board games or whatever. It's just a hangout. Like, is it good manners to actually show up like on the dot? And my contention was, and I talked to a couple different people over the course of the week before I had that conversation, before I brought that topic up on the podcast, and they were like, a mix of yes, it is, no, it's not. And then some people were like, it depends on whether it's, I'm like, no. We're not doing the contingencies. I already took the contingency out. We're not talking about special events. Not talking about like a surprise party. I'm talking about just like a regular party and bullshit hangout. Like if you were going to show up to somebody's house party, you know, back when you're like, you know, like teens, 20s, are you showing up at 6 o'clock? They're like, hey, man, you can, the party's going to start at like at 8 o'clock. Are you showing up at 8 o'clock like a nerd? Are you going to show up at like 8:30, maybe even 9 o'clock? So you can be like chilled out. Everybody's kind of already in the mix and you're not there having to kick the party off. So I got this message that said, RE showing up on time. If I ever invite you somewhere, I'm lying about the time. I'm telling you the party starts at 6:30 while everyone else gets there at 7. Thank you very much for that email there, friend. And my response was that, thanks for the response. I'll still find out what time it is, though, and I'll show up even later on purpose for trying to trick me, which is exactly something I would do. I would 1,000% show up even later if you're like, we're going to trick him by not telling him when the party is the right time. We'll just wait for him to show up. And I'll be like, no, we're not doing that. And then I would just be like, well, guess what I didn't do? I wouldn't show up on time. I would show up even later. I would have like way more fun not being on time. And so, yeah, just remember that. Like, if you try to trick me into showing up on time, I will make an effort to be even later. Because I'm, you know, here's the other thing too. I'm probably going to know at least one or two other people who are going, and they're probably going to talk to me at some point that week too. And I'll be like, or in the intervening time between the time I get the invite and the time I'm supposed to be there. So unless you've managed to future-proof that or managed to, you know, convince one of my friends to turn against me, they're like, hey man, what time is this really? Is shit really starting? You know, they said it was going to start at 7, but actually they've told you 6:30, right? I'm like, yep. So guess what? I'll be there at 9 o'clock. See y'all later. I'll show up like 2 minutes before it's actually about to end. They'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is what I'm doing. Don't do this shit to me again. I actually got dressed, showered, bought a bottle of wine, grabbed a snack plate, just so I could show up 10 minutes before the shit ends, so I could be like, this was messed up on your part. You should never do this to me again. If you would do this to me again, don't invite me. I'd rather not know than for you to try to think you need to trick me into showing up when you want me to show up. Like I said, the whole thing about it was, if you're a host, there's a lot you have to consider. And there's a lot that people should consider when they're coming to see your place or be in your space. And one of those things is that your life still has to continue happening whether they're there or not. So if I show up exactly on time, I think I mentioned this during the last podcast, then that last 10, 15 moments right before people actually would start to arrive, you don't get that. You know what I mean? Because you might actually have stuff run right up till the wire, which is always the case, it seems like. You walk into somebody's house when it's on time, they're still making shit. This actually happened. The reason why I brought this up was because it actually happened to me. I had a friend who was having a little soiree, and I actually did show up like pretty close to on time. I was like, I got sidelined by traffic. Had it not been for some traffic development in her area, I would have been at her door at like 7 o'clock on the dot. When I walked in, it was like 6 minutes after 7, and I was apologizing for being late. They hadn't even started cooking. I'm like, what? We're supposed to be having dinner. It's 7 o'clock right now. When do you expect to actually finish the food? And they were like, oh, well, I was thinking I'd start cooking once everybody got here. I'm like, why would you do that? Why'd you tell everybody that you were going to have dinner? You know what I mean? We're going to have dinner and we're going to do this at 7. I was actually trying to make sure I was there on time. And you didn't even start cooking. This stuff is still in the fridge. I was pissed. I was absolutely upset. So I was like, you know what? Instead of being mad though, I brought a little snack just in case I got this extra, the X, Y, and Z thing. Start cooking now. Because the whole reason I didn't eat lunch, I had breakfast, didn't eat lunch, was because I knew I was coming over here for dinner and I was going to, you know, crash out. I'm going to do a just wild out on this food. And then I'm waiting now. So now you're on my time. You're on mine and my stomach's time. See, and now I'm putting the host under pressure that's undue. That's also kind of the host's fault. Like, could have done a little bit more planning. Like, hey, I'm having people here for dinner at 7. Should probably start cooking at like 6 at the very latest, 6:30. So at least by the time they walk in, like, the food's mostly ready. And that's what I try to do. Like, if I'm cooking for people, we're having like a dinner or whatever, I usually try to start cooking like about a half hour to an hour ahead of schedule. So like, again, if people do show up on time, they're going to be there. Hey, it's going to be like another half hour for the food's ready. If they show up like 15, 20 minutes late, hey, you're just in time actually, because the food is going to be done in like 10 minutes and everything's going to be piping hot and ready to go. Because one thing you don't want is to have like food that's just been sitting around drying out in the oven or whatever. Anyway, that's my reasoning, you know what I mean, behind like, you know, don't show up on time for shit like that. Just show up like 10, 15 minutes late. Give the host a little bit of time to breathe, you know what I mean? Take a shower, maybe freshen up if they've already showered, and, you know, get a baby wipe on their back and their butt and just so they don't stink when they're standing in front of you. I don't know. Give them a little bit of break. Also, we had another thing go up through Blue Sky, so thank you all for checking out the Wandering One Studios Blue Sky page at w1studios.bsky.social, where we caught a picture of current FBI director and former frat boy who did way too much ketamine, probably, allegedly, in college, Kash Patel. And I managed to catch this screenshot of him where he's like, it looks like he's doing this very awkward wink, like he's trying to wink at some chick from across the bar. So I said, best caption gets a shout out on tomorrow's podcast or Sunday's upcoming Patreon episode, your pick, but it took a while for this to come through. And I got a message that said, ooh, I got some Epstein file in my eye while covering it up. You have to go to the Wandering One Blue Sky to see it. But yeah, that was awesome. Thank you so much for writing that in. That was brilliant. And I want to see some more stuff like that. I want to do some more stuff like that. Just because I think it'll be fun. It's like fun little engagements. So you don't have to like spend a whole lot of time. Like I said, pop over to the Blue Sky, write a little note, pop over to Patreon, throw a little email. Doesn't have to be long. The last email was only like 3 sentences. That one was literally just a phrase, you know, from Blue Sky. Just a little bit of something to say, hey, how you doing? And you know, let me know if you appreciate what's going on the pod. And yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be good. We're gonna find some other ways to engage. It's gonna be fun. And it's not all gonna be gloom and doom, but I mean, we're not gonna not talk about the shit that's been popping off in the streets this week. So we all have heard by now about the murder of Charlie Kirk. I know people are probably worn out about it. But at the same time, there's so many other issues that are revolving around that particular incident that we have to be mindful of. And of course, we've all heard about the cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel and Kimmel, after negotiations, they say, with ABC, Sinclair Media Group, and Nexstar and Disney. ABC and Disney decided they were bringing him back. So they put Kimmel back on the air last night, and it was great to watch him out there. The one thing I kind of appreciate about Jimmy is that, like, while he does tend to wear his heart on his sleeve, he didn't really back down. Like, he wasn't being aggressive about his criticism of what happened and how he was treated, but he was letting you know this shit wasn't cool, and made made some quick jabs at ABC and Disney in regards to referring to how people were canceling their Disney Plus, Hulu, and other subscription services. Kind of pointed out that, like, hey, you did this, and now you had to eat the consequences of it. It cost you nearly $4 billion over just the course of 5 days. But just remember that this could happen again. And if it does happen again, the people already know how they can get what they want. And they start pulling those purse strings real tight. It just sucks because your hand is stuck in there and it just cuts off the circulation of that. So, you know, I mean, those aren't his words exactly. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but he did throw a couple jabs out there. And then, of course, he turned around, went right back at the Trump administration to let them know, hey, trying to the party of supposed free speech, right, and protection of free speech has done everything they could to try to quell my right to free speech. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. And for a group of people who are so anti-cancel culture, like MAGA and Republicans just really, really, really try to cancel everybody, don't they? Like, they can't wait to try to find ways to cancel people. You know, we were talking about games and stuff like that. There's a lady who worked for Sucker Punch Studios. Name is Drew Harrison. Well, got fired over a joke that she made about Charlie Kirk's death. And again, like I said, I get where some people go like, hey, if you make a joke about somebody dying, that's not cool. That's totally fair. And I understand that. And, you know, there's a culture that's built around curbing those kinds of thoughts and those kinds of expressions of free speech. Because it's like, hey, if that's how you feel, that's your business. But when you're out here, you represent us too. So you can't just say anything you want like that. You have to remember you also have this responsibility to X and Y and Z, not X, the social media site. Fuck Twitter. But yeah, like a teacher here in the Jacksonville area got fired. They also both kind of said something a little bit more pointed about like another one bites the dust kind of stuff. And that was not Look, how you feel is how you feel. I'm not going to celebrate the fact that the man was killed. That's not my job. I am going to be honest about the fact that he was not a decent person in life. And he was a hateful, mean-spirited human being. That is an honest and factual thing to say. Like Jimmy Kimmel got canceled for pointing out Trump's lack of empathy for Charlie Kirk or sympathy for Charlie Kirk. And just really just playing the words that Charlie Kirk himself said. Hey, I didn't do anything except point out that that's a weird way to react if you say your friend died. And this is what this dude actually said. And you wanted to crucify me for it. Somebody's on some bullshit. And that's kind of where I feel like if you point that kind of stuff out, they're not making a joke necessarily about the man being dead. But it was just a really bizarre situation. It was a really bizarre approach, and it's a bizarre tack to take when you're like, we're the party of free speech, except for those people when they say stuff that makes us feel bad, or it makes fun of me because I'm a weird motherfucker like Trump, who is admittedly a very weird dude. He's weird in a bunch of different ways, which we've been over multiple times. But it has been cool to see that Jimmy Kimmel didn't just bow down and roll over and take it. But the entanglements between Brendan Carr, who's the current head of the FCC, ABC and Disney and Nexstar taking these weird tacks on Nexstar and the Sinclair Group are like, well, we're just not going to air it in certain areas. I'm like, well, ABC's probably like, well, you actually have a financial responsibility to do exactly that. Because if you preempt the show, you have to put something else in there and it's going to cost you money and time to program other shit on top of Jimmy Kimmel. And at a certain point, when you don't fulfill your contractual obligations, you're in breach of contract. Maybe we'll just buy your studios then. So now you're losing money because you just want to stand on some BS, quote unquote, principles. I mean, I would love to see them do it. I'd love to see them get yanked up. And Sinclair actually planned on airing the Charlie Kirk tribute during Jimmy Kimmel's slot. But there was so much guff given to them about that, they eventually did move it to YouTube. And it was just like, why would you even bother? Why would you even bother? What on earth made you think that was a good move in the first place? And I think it's partly because you listen to Brendan Carr, and while he's, railing against Jimmy Kimmel and saying that, this kind of speech is inflammatory, we should be able to pull your licenses. Just a few years ago, he was saying that free speech is the cornerstone of American democracy. And without it, we run the risk of not being able to keep power structures under control as the people. Those were his own words, kind of. I'm paraphrasing that too, but he's basically saying that we need free speech. And then he's like, except for when it's going to cost me my job, then screw you and your free speech. But it was really cool to see all the other people come out in support of Kimmel and Colbert. Even Colbert himself coming out in support of Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Leno, who wasn't really quote unquote supportive, but he wasn't negative about it. He was kind of like, we'll see what's going on. We'll see what happens. David Letterman actually did come out in strong support. Obviously, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert and Seth Meyers, amongst others, had come out and been like, this is bullshit. We need to not do this. You're cutting this man down for just basically pointing out that that's a weird way to react and that this dude said these things. That's it. Meanwhile, if we're looking at the weird stuff that happens, like I said, they wanted to play Charlie Kirk's memorial service in Jimmy Kimmel's slot. And then Trump turned it into just another town hall. One of the things that was pointed out by another content creator that I was listening to, and I say content creator because I don't know exactly I put them as a pundit necessarily, but they're like, Charlie Kirk's, with the exception of his wife, nobody else from his family really spoke up. It wasn't like a pastor or anybody that came up and really talked for him. When a mom or dad or a brother or sister or cousin, friends from college or high school, it was mostly just the Republican National Convention, the spearheads of the Trump administration talking, which is a gross way to treat somebody's death. And while Erica Kirk expressed forgiveness for the shooter in probably the most Christian thing that happened in the Christian conservative camp ever. And I was like, that was actually very, it was very difficult to watch because on the one hand, you know that Charlie Kirk was who he was to the world, but you also know that Charlie Kirk was also somebody special to her. And it's not like you're like, yeah, screw you and fuck your husband. It's like, man, that sucks. She lost her husband. And there's a real human moment that was being had on stage. And then it just got swallowed by baby hands running up there and trying to, like, you know, grab up on her and hug her and kiss her on the cheeks and stuff. I was like, oh, God, dude, you couldn't even wait a week after his body was chilled to start making moves on his wife. So gross. It was, I mean, it was weird. Some people said he was like humping on her. I don't know that he was doing that, but I did see the way he tried to wrap his arms around her and kiss her on the cheeks and stuff. I was like, that just feels slimy. Everything, just because he's a slimy dude, but like that felt really grody to me. But yeah, they ended up, you know, just talking about, you know, Trump's tariffs and his policy. And then they were selling Trump merchandise at this dude's funeral service. And then to show you the kind of class acts that showed up, did you see the videos of like the garbage and the like just absolute, it looked like somebody drove garbage trucks with the, you know, the banks, like the bins like half tilted up, just drove them down the street and just let them empty out all over the street. It was so horrific. They actually had front loaders out there scooping up the garbage and dropping it into dump trucks. Yeah, these are the people who were there to honor Charlie Kirk, right? We're going to show how much we love Charlie Kirk by destroying this city, ruining the grounds of the place where we're having this memorial service and treating it like a toilet. That's how little you guys actually gave a shit. It was all just performative. The whole thing was political theater, with the exception of Erica Kirk, who, like I said, for her and her kids, on the one hand, like, I don't feel super bad for her. I do. My sympathies are extended to her for the loss of her husband. She knew she married, and she heard the stuff he said. Like, her kids don't know, so I feel worse for them because they had no idea that their dad was this way. And when they grow up, they probably find out. And God willing, you know, maybe by then they'll have gained some room and the ability to have some of their own perspective. And hopefully those ideologies won't be in their hearts and minds. And maybe this event will cause Erica to kind of reconsider some of the policies and ideologies that he espoused during his life and go, maybe I don't want to perpetuate that. If I'm calling myself a Christian, this doesn't feel very Christ-like. It feels very anti what he would be down with. I'm hoping, and I'm working on supposition here because I don't know her and I've never met her. But I would hope that this would soften her heart a little bit and help her have more empathy and more compassion. One can only hope. I don't know that it'll happen while she's surrounded by the rest of the MAGA camp, though. I mean, if you remember, this actually happened this past week, too. Not this past week. It was a week or so ago. Brian Kilmeade of Fox News actually said that homeless people, or people who are mentally ill, in particular, who are out in the streets and could be beneficiaries of, you know, public service programs that would provide them food, housing, mental health care, X, Y, and Z. He actually called for involuntary lethal injections for those people. Literally, those were his words, involuntary lethal injections, which is murder. He was like, yeah, if they don't want to take the help, then we should just go ahead and kill them. He actually goes, just kill them. And the other black guy, I forget his name, whatever, he's one of those other coonin-ass black MAGA people I can't stand. And he just kind of looked over at him and was like, his eyes got real big. And he was like nodding. He's like, gonna agree with you. And then he stopped halfway. He was like, ooh, I don't know if we should say that, but they were on Fox. They'll be fine. Trump is probably there, over there clapping his hands when he hears that kind of shit. Which is crazy because when Trump was over in the UK, he was getting the business. You guys saw the pictures of him and Epstein being, you know, projected onto the walls of Windsor Castle, the giant like banner that was spread out across the National Mall. Oh, not the National Mall, but the yard, the lawn at Windsor Castle. The horse actually taking a dump right in front of him, which was, I'm not gonna lie, of all the stuff that made me laugh, like that probably made me laugh the hardest. Like even animals are like, fuck this guy. Like, that horse waited until it was right in front of him and was just like, brr. I'm like, yo, that could have been any better if there was like a lever on the side where they just pulled it and the horse did that. But this is, like I said, these are the kinds of things that come out, though. Like you find out more about these people the more they start to talk. And because it's their hatred and their hatefulness and their incompetence is like leading them around by the nose, that they forget that other people are smart and other people will see through their bullshit. Like Tom Homan, the quote-unquote border czar, who had his investigation closed by Kash Patel, like I said, head of the FBI, because he had taken a $50,000 cash bribe in a sting operation from an undercover FBI operative. And Cash, of course, is going to close this one up and be like, nothing happened. Pam Bondi actually came out and said he didn't actually take the bag full of $50,000. That makes me go, Pam, who did? Because by the very statement that you made, saying you admit that there was a bag of $50,000 that somebody took, you're just saying it wasn't Tom Homan, so who did it? One of y'all did it. Where's the bag? Where's the money? Show me the money. But of course, you know, Cash Patel being the FBI director and being a puppet for Trump, he's like, oh, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain kind of thing. Let's shut that all down so nobody has to bother investigating. The problem is that, you know, people are starting to wake up and pay more attention now. You know, they're calling for the Epstein files all the time. But now they're also calling for investigations into some of the other people in Trump's cabinet. And it's a very interesting thing that, you know, people are being held, having their feet held to the fire and being called accountable for the evil and hateful things that they've said and also the dumber things they've said. You know, like I said, Trump saying that Tylenol causes autism, that was a scare tactic that they put out there. Even when it's funny that he couldn't say acetaminophen, I'm not going to harp on that. We all know how dumb that was. But every time they do one thing that seems hateful and evil, they get rolled back on somehow by the FDA, of all things. The Food and Drug Administration actually put out a letter just on the heels of that peculiar press conference about Tylenol and said, yeah, basically, y'all should just keep doing what you've been doing as physicians for decades now. Like, we don't want people to take any more Tylenol. We don't want them to take any less Tylenol. We want to make sure they take just enough that's prescribed by the doctors in serious cases of fever. Because it does help keep the mother and the infant safer. And it is, well, there are studies that show one thing, there's studies that show something else, and then there are studies that are inconclusive. So we're just going to kind of stick with the general guidance we've always had, as opposed to being like, Tylenol causes autism. And that's not... They're like, that's not really scientifically provable. We don't have any real causality that draws a direct line between this to that. But they can't stop themselves. They just can't quit. They can't quit. And then, like I said, once somebody does something ridiculous, somebody else like in that camp has to come right along with something even dumber. So between Trump's, you know, weird, you know, visit to the UK, then he had another weird visit to the UN. Where he just rambled on and on about, you know, how awesome he was, how he stopped wars that weren't actually wars. Some things that weren't even actually happening. He was like, I took credit for that because I did that. And they're like, everybody's looking at him like, this is kind of insane. We have an actual crazy person up here. We need to get the guys with the soft, you know, we need to get the guys with the straight jackets and the puffy padded rooms to get this dude off the stage. And then he goes around and then reverses his stance on Ukraine, saying that like Ukraine actually could make a stand to grab a land grab to reclaim all the land that Russia has taken from them. Even called for people to shoot down other nations to shoot down Russian aircraft that cross into their airspace, which is like an act of fucking war. So he's actually calling upon, you know, non-combatant nations who might be anywhere involved with the Russian conflict to just start shooting down Russian planes. What? It's not weird enough that Russia already like flown drones over Poland and those got shot down. That seems fair. Like, you flew into our airspace with a drone. We didn't authorize this stuff. Yeah, that's one thing. You're going to just start shooting stuff at random, though. You can mess around and actually, you know, disrupt some, you know, cause some real shit over there. And I'm praying that nobody else that was at the United Nations conference is dumb enough to think they should listen to Donald Trump for military strategic advice. the guy who wouldn't even be bothered because he had bone spurs. But the fact that he actually got the chance to speak is what's terrifying. And like I said, he does that, and then guess what? Right on the heels of that, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposes having a Trump library built in Miami. And then another initiative went out to create Charlie Kirk Road in Orlando. Like, why? Why is all this Florida tribute happening for a dude who didn't even live here? And why are we all like, you know, and Trump barely lives here. Don't get it twisted. He goes to Mar-a-Lago and everything like that. But, you know, Trump, he only come down here to really like play golf and hide whenever he's not in, you know, D.C. And that's probably because New York don't really want to be bothered with his ass no more. But he's not from here. You know what I mean? He didn't really do nothing for this place. So why are they so intent on, you know, just ball washing this dude? And the Charlie Kirk thing, you know what? You want to put a memorial on your road? Fine. It'll be like how people call the Willis Tower, the Sears Tower to this day. Everyone's like, you know, it ain't never going to be the Willis Tower to me. It's always going to be the Sears Tower. It's been the Sears Tower for X 40-something, 50-something years. I am not calling it the Willis Tower. That's why Twitter is still Twitter and not X to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the dead naming thing. Like, I don't want to put it on that level. It's not the same thing as, you know, respecting somebody's identity. It's a corporate entity, though. Like, I don't give a fuck about that. Corporations aren't people. If your friend, you know, is transitioning and they ask you to call them by this name and by these pronouns, that's something you can do because they're your friend and you care about them. And you care about them because you want to be part of their journey and they've been good enough to include you on it. That just seems like a really simple, straightforward kind of thing to do. Whether you care about their, you know, journey or not, like as far as like it don't affect you kind of thing, that's inconsequential. You can do that to be kind to somebody that you say you care about or just to be a good person in general. But a corporation, miss me all the way with that shit. But yeah, like I'm not going to change. If it was called Charlie Kirk Road on my street, I'd be like, no, that's still Franklin Street. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. The dude had no respect for me in life and wouldn't if I had seen him standing face to face. So I'm not going to sit here and bow down to him in death. That don't make no sense. But I guess every time somebody does something dumb, they have an equal and opposite stupid reaction to go along with it. Like Disney has been talking about bundling services within their umbrella for a long time. And we've known that they were going to do a price increase. It just feels really gauche for the price increase to still be projected to go through on October 1st, right after they just had this huge billions of dollar loss behind trying to shut up Jimmy Kimmel. They're like, oh, and just by the way, remember, we're going up on your services come this next month. Don't forget, it's going to go up by $2 for, you know, the monthly subscription. And then there's like another three. It's going to go up by $2 per month if you're on monthly. And it's like $3 per month if you have like a premium bundle. And then for $30 over the year if you pay for a year. So they want to let you know. Don't forget, if you stayed with us over the behind all this Jimmy Kimmel bullshit we just did, we're also going to take more of your money, which is a dumb tactic right here. This would be the time when I'd be like, you know what? Maybe we don't do any price increases until next year. And by next year, I mean until like next December. Maybe we should just let people have a break so they could maybe decide to come back later. We should do some extra stuff to, like, you know, champion the causes of free speech and LGBTQ community, minorities, women, you know. We should do way better, way more gooder before we start charging people more money. Like, maybe we should make a couple of these movies free at theaters or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy that, like, shows are getting canceled because they're losing money in the budgets. But then they're like, but keep paying for Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN. And people are just like, no, we're not. I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but I was mentioning Ron DeSantis earlier because, you know, I live in Florida. And we've had some fun stuff going on this week. Last night, just saw this in the news this morning, which is one of the great things about not doing the podcast super early in the week. The Jacksonville City Council has approved their budget after a 13-hour budget fight overnight. A couple things that did not make it through was extra money to be outlined for diversion, equity, and inclusion, also known as DEI, programs for communities. Also, no assistance for immigrant workers. So no legal assistance, obviously no food assistance or medical assistance. Why would they bother to do anything kind? Why would conservative Christian Republicans dare to act like Jesus? That would be insane to ask of them. But yeah, they managed to push all that through. And then they also pushed through a budget measure that was designed to cut property taxes in certain instances. And with all the issues that have been popping up with homestead exceptions for people in like higher positions within the Trump administration, being accused of they've been accusing people of real estate fraud for a long time. However, they've been bigger commissioners of, what's the word I'm looking for? Committers of said act. There we go. Where certain politicians are like, oh, so-and-so's parents and stuff like that. And they are also, taking homestead exceptions on homes that they don't actually live in so they can get money off of their properties. And we're going to rescind that exception, make it retroactive. So it's like it didn't happen. But it did. Just you saying that they can't have it in the future doesn't mean they didn't save the money already in the past. They need to be prosecuted for that because they committed fraud. And then you, who have decided to change the laws, need to be prosecuted for trying to cover it up because now you're an accessory after the fact. You helped them try to cover up a crime. They committed a crime. And you should be for trying to retroactively shit can that thing. You should be arrested and, you should be prosecuted, arrested, and, sent to jail. You know what I mean? Like, that should be the thing. Sorry, arrested, prosecuted, and then sent to jail for helping them cover up an act. And not only that, like I said, today there's a shooting at an ICE facility in Texas. That just happened this morning, which I haven't even been able to get more news on that since it happened like early this morning. And then I found out the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and the Duval County Jail just keep killing dudes. There's one dude, Fagerty or something like that, that was killed. Let's say he wasn't killed. He was found dead, as they're putting it, in police custody, which sounds incredibly suspicious to me. And then another dude just today was, yesterday afternoon or yesterday evening, but it was released today that he was also found dead in police custody. Now, behind Fagerty's death, several people that were working in the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office lost their policing powers, which is at the very least what they could do. But the family's looking to pursue civil damages as well. Because even if these people are bad people, somebody loves them out there, right? So they're looking at down the barrel of that. Like I said, but then these are like this, with the exception of the mayor of the city, there's a lot of people who work underneath the mayor who are very, very right-wing driven and will do anything and everything that they can to try to muddy the waters and to cause as much havoc for this administration as possible. And Mayor Deegan is trying her level best to try to keep things under control and put out fires where she can. But it's another one of those things where a lot of times Democrats and independents want to play by the rules and play like the above board game. When what you really need to be doing is bring yourself back down to earth and play the game that they're playing. You don't have to get as dirty as them to win. You know what I mean? But you do have to be able to use some of their tactics and use some of their rhetoric to roll it back on them when they start acting crazy so that they don't just steamroll over you. And the sooner they get this message, the better off we're all going to end up being. Because one of the common threads that was being espoused over the last week or so especially is that the pendulum swings both ways. And eventually, for a time and for a season, it might seem like the ultra-conservative Christian nationalist right are banging down the doors of freedoms that we all hold near and dear. At a certain point, when the people are belabored enough, the people are upset enough, they will rise up in one fashion or another, and the wheels of power will shift in the opposite direction. And now, since you've created this imperfect microcosm in which people are able to weaponize the Department of Justice and other legal and executive structures to take the knees out from the people that they don't necessarily care with, agree with, or support in whatever their aims or ideologies are, you've just created a perfect set of weaponry for the left or independence people, people who are not as far right-leaning, to turn around and do the exact same thing to you. Now, here's the thing. Like I said, the playing the high road card, they most likely won't. Doesn't mean they couldn't, though. Doesn't mean it's outside of the realm of possibility that they could be like, hey, what's good for the goose, right? They start rounding you guys up, saying, hey, your free speech is also hate speech, and we're going to get rid of that. Well, hate speech is supposed to be free speech. Nuh-uh. Not under your rules. Remember, this is what you guys set as a precedent. So remember, we got you now. It's a very slippery slope. And, I mean, like I said, people have mentioned before, all people, Ted Cruz, to say, like, we're setting some very dangerous precedents here. This is really looking like a mafioso from a gangster movie, saying that you got a lot of nice shop here. Be a shame if something got broken. But yeah, it's like we're doing a lot of this stuff that you really wouldn't want done to you. And if you're talking about being a Christian nationalist, the whole idea of do unto others should be first and foremost in your mind. But it seems like it only works out for them when it works out for them. And as soon as they don't have to abide by it or whatever, then it's like, well, I mean, as long as it works for me, I don't care if it works for you. Except that that's not how this game is played. They'll find out eventually, it always does come through in the fullness of time. But, I mean, it'll be too late for them to actually get the message. That's the only downside to it. By the time that the message could be received and it would be necessary, it'll be too late. And, I mean, that's not my fault. Ain't got nothing to do with me. But you might want to remind people around, if you got any of these folks in your life, to say, hey, the day gonna come. And when the day comes, y'all going to be like, well, what about? And we're going to be like, absolutely not. Now, this is everything that you said you wanted, right? So it should be fine now that it's happening to you. You should be totally okay with this. This kind of treatment should be, you know, fair and equitable and in accordance with the highest moral standards, right? Because it was fine when it wasn't you. Now that it is you, why is it different? Why does it feel different? Oh, because it's not cool. It's not kind. It's not fair. Oh, I guess we should have thought about that, shouldn't we? Never feels good when it's on the other foot, does it, that shoe? Never feels quite so good. Anyway, let's wrap this up with some sports talks. I'm really ready to do that today. And I'm going to get ready for some gridiron grops. Everything I said was wrong with the exception of the Steelers. And I was kind of hoping I was wrong. Like I said, I'm hoping I'm wrong. But yeah, last week the Chicago Bears beat up on the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Taking them down 34-14. Got to see a good chunk of that game. I was actually pretty impressed that the Bears didn't try to end up fighting to be a fourth quarter team, because it never works out for them. They always try so hard to be like this fourth quarter team. We're going to turn it around in the fourth. No, play solid ball all the way through the game. You're going to be fine. And it turned out it worked out pretty well for him. We're going to need to look a little bit more at tightening up. I think Chicago and Jacksonville both got to work on their receiver core and their quarterbacks. They're like, hey, you guys got to get these. You got to get these passes a little bit more concise. Receivers need to get them hands up, out, and ready to go. And then on top of that, the biggest thing, I mean, fumbles, incompletions, and even interceptions aside, Chicago and Jacksonville have got to learn to stop, you know, causing penalties. The penalties that are eating them alive are the ones where they're like unnecessary roughness or false starts or offsides. It's random, stupid ticky-tack stuff that is causing them, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards every possession. And then before you know it, you've lost an entire football field worth of yards because of stupid penalties. And that is almost more detrimental than a turnover. At least on a turnover, you have a chance to take the ball back. But if you keep walking backwards, you're getting further and further away from your own goal line. That means you have to work harder and harder to get back to where you were, just to get back to fine. And the Jaguars kind of did a little bit of that against the Texans, although they did manage to pull out the win 17-10. But there's a bit of a comedy of errors kind of thing going on with Jacksonville. And it's been the story of Jacksonville for a while. And they're admittedly working on it. Trevor Lawrence takes the criticism like a champ. And I got to say, for a guy as young and I guess maybe because he doesn't have a lot of time in the league, although he's been playing with the Jags for a little while now. But for somebody as young as he is, for him to be as cognizant of his role as quarterback and as mindful of what's being asked of him as he is, I find it to be very impressive and refreshing. So there's a lot of people who, you know, whine and complain about Trevor Lawrence. I'm not going to be one of them. I actually think the kid deserved way more of a shot than he got early on. And Jaguars fans are some of the most fair-weather fans that you'll ever meet. I can't be that same kind of Jaguars fan because I'm a Chicago fan. And I've been a fan of Chicago since I was a child. So if I've made it all the way to 47, you know I mean this shit. Yeah, I'm in it for life, baby. But yeah, like I keep trying to tell Jaguars fans, y'all got to stand by your man in a way, you know, stand behind your team, give him a little bit of grace, give him a little bit of patience. You know what I mean? We're just getting into week three of the regular season, and I don't know what it is that they expect. I don't know why they think that they're going to be some kind of Herculean, you know, Cinderella story. It's not going to be that way. But it definitely ain't going to be that way if you guys are so shitty towards the team. Like, they might just quit. Like, they may just give up. You're like, you know what? Nobody likes us anyway, so why should we give a shit? I get my check either way. I don't want to see that for them. And then we move down to the Steelers and Patriots. Not last, but definitely not least. Taking their win 21-14 over the Patriots. Good job for the Steelers. I didn't get to watch that game. But yeah, that was the only game that I called correctly was the Steelers beating the Patriots. And I kind of figured, like, as much as I wanted the Jaguars and the Bears to win, and I was really hoping that they would, I kind of called it against them just almost out of spite. Because I just don't know that either team has really landed on how they want to proceed, particularly with their offensive game. And while there's talent on both sides of the ball when it comes to Jacksonville and Chicago, I still feel like, you know, we got a brand new coach in Jacksonville. We've got a new quarterback in Chicago. We're, you know, there's some new players that have shifted on both sides of the ball. They're trying to, like, you know, suss things out and figure out how they want to interact and, you know, what's the best attack plan going forward. I don't know that either of them have a clear vision of what that is yet. And I don't know how long it's going to take for them to coalesce. So it's kind of hard for me to call games at this point, especially since it is early in the season. And what we saw during the preseason doesn't seem to match up with what we've seen in the regular season at all. That said, Chicago is up again. These are all, by the way, these are all looking like Sunday games here. And I think every one of them, with the exception of, no, let's see. The only one that's coming late. Oh, actually, two are late. Jacksonville, Chicago has four. The only ones earlier is Pittsburgh and Minnesota. They'll be facing off on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Looks like Eastern Standard Time on NFL Network and NFL Plus. Won't be watching that game. yeah, but the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Minnesota Vikings. And then at 4:05 p.m. Eastern Standard is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the San Francisco 49ers. I'm hoping I'll be able to catch that game. But then, right behind the heels of that, 4:25 on CBS, the Chicago Bears are taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I'm really excited to see that game because those are both teams that kind of had, like, fair to middling performances last year, and I want to see with the minor changes that have been made, not a huge lot of shakeup there in the Chicago lineup or the Raiders. So between the Bears and Raiders, I feel like this could be probably one of the more even games of the week. And we'll just have to wait and see. Like, I'm going to be getting some food made. So I'm going to start early in the morning. So come time everybody get around, everything's going to be cooked and ready to go. By game time, we should be able to have everybody piling in, getting some ribs and chicken, some collard greens, some black beans. I'm going to be soaking some black beans come Saturday afternoon into Sunday morning so they can go in the pot and get cooked up. And we're going to make us some, I need to cook this ham that I got. I got to cook that shit tomorrow. Trying to decide if I want to make ribs and chicken or if I want to just grab some andouille sausage, some okra, and some chicken drums. Maybe make like fried chicken and jambalaya with some black beans and collard greens and some rice and some steamed white rice. I have yet to decide, but I got at least a couple days to figure it out. Or I could just do mashed potatoes, which would be great. Mashed potatoes, ribs, chicken, collard greens, black beans. Yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do some mashed potatoes this weekend. Hail to the year. Mashed potatoes is on the menu, baby. We just figured it out. Woo! Thank you, everybody. So, yeah, good luck to everybody this weekend. Hope your team does well wherever they're at, whatever you're doing, whatever you're watching. And this is going to do it for this episode. Thank you all for bearing with me. Appreciate you for coming to check out the streams over on twitch.tv/linkib, for sending your messages to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios, or by hitting up the Wandering One Blue Sky at w1studios.bsky.social. And of course, as always, checking out the Wandering One podcast here on Audio Boom and wherever you get your podcasts served to you. Thank you very much. Let me know what you think of the podcast by writing in, sending me a message. Thank you to the people who did write in, who commented on the posts on Blue Sky this week. Been fighting with it today because Blue Sky apparently has had some kind of internal server error and things were not getting posted. So if you don't see me online right away, remember when you hear this podcast, I got some stuff I got to do this afternoon. And so that kind of preempts my normal, my intended 1 o'clock stream time. But I should be back around like 3 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, 3 o'clock PM Eastern Standard. At twitch.tv/linkib, playing some Borderlands, playing some Balatro, maybe some Destiny, maybe some Hollow Knight, maybe just some Cozy Grove, who knows? And we're going to be testing out this SteelSeries Arctis Nova Pro and letting you know what I think about it over an extended period of play time. I did post about it on social media on my LinkIB's Blue Sky, linkib.bsky.social. I don't know if that's actually going to make it through because, like I said, there were some issues going on with Blue Sky earlier. But if you see it out there, let me know what you think. Let me know if I should have gotten a different kind of headset. If you can recommend something, that'd be great. But in the meantime, in between time, love you guys. Appreciate you for listening. Do all the things on the social medias. Tell a friend. Tell a family member. Tell your senator. And I'm going to get out of here. I'm LinkIB. You guys are dope as hail, and I will catch you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.